I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to Okayest Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Brittany here.
And Heather. Hello.
Welcome to back to school preview.
We are making an attempt to actually like organize our lives, and which is funny that this became the topic today, because organizing our lives meant organizing our content, and we are actually going to do like themes now.
I'm so proud of us.
You know what? Every once in a while, we get a spurt of having our shit together and everything clicks.
You got this. Pat yourself on the back.
No, I know what you're thinking. It is the middle of summer. Why are you talking about back to school? And there's a couple reasons for that. Because one, our kids start very early in August, and I know a lot of kids do. I know that there are some of you out there who still have like 2 months of summer. And for those people, this is so that you can slowly start thinking about these things and slowly start digesting so that maybe you can put a couple of these systems in place so that way when school does start for you, you are, you know, the transition's a little bit easier. Because I don't know about you, but the transition from summer to school around here is rough.
Right. And we talk about this in the episode that it is a natural transition, but just because it's natural doesn't mean it's not
easy
talking to the system. So this is a good time. Every transition period is a good time to implement some new stuff and just get everybody back on the same page. Because I know at the end of last school year, I was flailing. It was like chaos theory in action in my house. So I am very motivated to just get shit in order.
For sure. Towards the end of last year, we were just later and later and later for drop off every day. And I know the kids are tired. I don't have it in me to ask, please hang up your backpack one more time. I can't do it. So it's valid that they're tired. It is valid that I am tired. We're going to take the summer to reset, and we're going to start all over again come August.
That's right. And today we are talking with Carly. She is a professional organizer who we met at a conference months ago. And she is a gem. She approaches this in such a way that is accessible, that we don't need to invest a ton of time up front. You know, it can be done in like 15, 20 minute chunks. And she has some really, really good ideas.
We would also love, before we get into this episode, if you could take a minute right now to rate, review, subscribe, share this podcast with a friend. Maybe you have another mom friend who's also who you've been talking about how much you're dreading the school year. We always know that's the best way to get podcast recommendations is word of mouth. And we would be so honored if you could take the time to share it with someone.
We will dive into the episode after this quick break.
When I tell you that Brittany and I were beyond excited to bring on House of Wise as a podcast sponsor, it's a bit of an understatement. We have both tried various CBD products over the years to little success. Some flat out didn't work, and almost all of them taste pretty gross. I thought House of Wise would be another well-intentioned brand that fell flat, but I couldn't have been more wrong.
House of Wise is a luxury CBD brand that offers gummies specifically formulated to reduce stress, promote better sleep, increase enjoyment during sex, and improve your workouts. Each full-spectrum CBD product is originally formulated, specially designed, and paired with additional thoughtfully selective active ingredients to help women make the most of each day and give more intention and purpose to their daily routines.
My favorite are the sleep gummies. I have the hardest time falling asleep and staying asleep the older I get, and these have the right amount of CBD, so I'm nice and relaxed and just enough melatonin to help me fall asleep without waking up to that groggy feeling or giving me crazy dreams.
And I am obsessed with the stress gummies. They take the edge off after a long day of balancing all the things, as us moms tend to do.
Not only does House of Wise offer great products, they're also a thoughtful, intentional, women-owned company. House of Wise has an ongoing partnership with The Last Prisoner Project, which is dedicated to decriminalizing cannabis.
If you've been thinking about trying CBD, this is your sign. To try House of Wise, go to okaismoms.com/wise.
There are two certainties in a mom's life, dishes and laundry. If you're like us, then your washing machine and dishwasher are putting in overtime every day.
Drops makes effective, eco-friendly, and convenient household cleaning products from laundry pods, they're the original creators, to dishwasher detergent and more. They've got your home covered.
Drops detergent pods are tough enough to handle any stains your kids can throw at them, including those grass stains. Remove odors, yet are still gentle on fabric. They do all of this without any harsh chemicals. Drops uses plant-based ingredients and is dye, phosphate, phthalate, and paraben-free. They come in a variety of light, crisp scents or unscented too.
What caught our eye the most is that Drops is committed to being eco-responsible. Packaging is designed to reduce waste, single-use plastic, and unnecessary shipping materials. Drops has kept nearly 3.5 million single-use plastic detergent containers, tubs, and jugs from polluting waterways. You can even further reduce your carbon footprint by saving yourself a trip to the store when you sign up for the subscribe and save option, so you never run out of a reason to do laundry again.
New customers can save 25% off their first order of Drops with code OKAIST25, and existing Drops customers can get 15% off with code OKAIST15 at drops.com. That's DROPPS.com. Hey everyone, welcome back. We have Carly here with us today, the organizer extraordinaire. Hi, Carly.
Hey, so happy to see you guys again.
Thank you so much for being on our show. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into organization?
Yes. So my name is Carly Adams and I'm a home organizer that's based out of Sacramento, California. And I got into organization, it really stemmed from me being a chronically disorganized person. And I was super disorganized in literally every aspect of my life. And it was causing me so much stress and anxiety and day-to-day life was just really tough and pretty much reached a breaking point. And I ended up doing literally hundreds of hours of research on how to get organized and started implementing a bunch of, you know, tips here, and everything changed. Things became so much easier. I was able to get out of debt and have savings for the first time in my life, rein in my finances. I was able to declutter my home and stop the endless cycle of taking 45 minutes to get ready in the morning because it felt like I had nothing to wear. Instead, I was, you know, getting ready in like 5 minutes. Everything was just streamlined and my stress levels went so, they were just reduced so greatly that everything just changed so much that I switched careers and wanted to help other people streamline their lives too and implement simple systems, emphasis on the word simple, so that mom doesn't have to be the gatekeeper of everything organization related and that things can just be easier.
Well, you had me at simple because kids come with a lot of clutter, especially when it comes to school gear. So what kind of systems can we put in place for like backpacks and lunch boxes and water bottles? There are so many things in the morning that we're searching for. I'm like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know that the getting ready in the morning and the, where is the backpack, the lunch pail, homework, everything. That's a hot button issue for so many moms. So I always, first of all, recommend to pick the path of least resistance. And what I mean by that is to figure out where in your home is going to be the best location so that people don't have to travel very far from door to place where backpacks go. And in everybody's home, that's going to be a different spot. But I really want you to just take a second at home, grab a cozy beverage, walk through your house and just figure out where that spot is. Because I can't say without looking at a space, like, have we tried here? But a lot of times the thing that where the system breaks down is that kiddos have to walk way too far from the door to the place that it goes and it gets dropped along the way. And then everybody is annoyed and then, you know, it's off and it's lost. So path of least resistance, figure out where the closest landing spot is from the door to this spot and start there. hooks are going to be your best friend. And also if kids are able to have a specific spot that's really helpful instead of like, hey, this goes in the closet, like, hey, this goes on this hook in the closet, or hey, this goes in your cubby and it's yours. Everything goes in here. And so getting it as specific as possible will help you be able to find it later. Water bottles, because I know that's a trigger point for a lot of people.
You guys, the water bottles, they walk away. We've invested so much money in water bottles and they're gone.
You're water bottle rich. That's what you are. I joke out with my sister all the time. Okay. So again, this is one of those things where everybody's home is a little bit different. So you really have to strategize like where's going to be the best spot for you. It could be a cupboard. We could be looking at like maybe a Lazy Susan situation, or a bin. If it's in a drawer, like a drawer that's deep enough to do it, I still recommend a bin, anything that's really just going to corral everything. And I'm a big fan of storing lids separately if you are dealing with a lot of water bottles that aren't in a regular rotation, because they can come out of the dishwasher, however, you know, you wash them and then they can get moisture trapped in them. I can't tell you how many water bottles I have decluttered where we just have to toss them because they just have mold and it's very so gross. Yeah. So if you don't have water bottles that are in like a very, very frequent rotation, I suggest like a second bin, something small to just corral them, a place where you can just drop them and then match them up when you need. But bins will be your best friend, preferably at kiddo eye level if you can. So maybe that's a cupboard under your island. Maybe it's another place in your kitchen. Maybe it's a lower level in your pantry, but just some place where they can grab it on their own and where we can corral them all together. There's also a lot of really cute organizers out now where essentially it's like a plastic holder and there'll be like 2, 3, 4 across and you can stack them up. So every water bottle can have its own cubby. That can work well in some places, but if you have an area where it's like really deep, then I wouldn't necessarily recommend that because it's just going to, it won't take up enough space to be worth it.
I've seen those. They kind of look like a wine rack.
Yeah. Like a wine rack for water bottles.
So do you have any suggestions for when you have those systems in place, but the kids and or people in your home kind of fall off of using those systems? Because we have a dedicated spot for backpacks in our house. And this could just be like, you know, getting back into the routine of things or whatever it is. But so getting the backpack on the hook is just a bridge too far. It is going to live in the middle of the hallway. And that is all I can do. Do not ask me to do anything else.
Yeah. So this is what I talk about for maintenance. And this is basically like the too long didn't read version. And what it boils down to is remembering that the systems are going to need resets sometimes. And just like the other healthy habits in our life, like I know that there are some habits where if I'm feeling really good and on track, I'm doing like these 7 things every day. Am I doing all those things right this very minute? No. Do I need to get back into this routine and say, oh, okay, enough is enough. Let's make sure that I'm getting this on my calendar and making it happen. Absolutely. So the maintenance is going to be like that, just like getting enough sleep, eating well, moving our bodies. It's a habit that sometimes we can fall off of and we need to remember, take our toolkit, remember it and come back to it. I suggest to people that I'm a really, really big fan of daily resets, but it's not carving out huge chunks of time. It's like a 10, 15 minute timer. And everybody's day is going to be a little bit different as to when that makes the most sense. So I would really think about your family schedule and when you can incorporate it. So it could be like a timer that you're getting set as you're wrapping up dinner and you're saying, hey, kiddos, we're resetting before dinner. Go. Or it could be like a post bath, pre bedtime quick reset while we're winding down. For some folks, it's good to do it at the beginning of the day, but it really just depends on your schedule. If you know that the mornings are really rushed for your family, then don't attempt to tackle it then. We want to make it, again, path of least resistance. When can we do this little reset? And making sure that you're having an effort into putting it into your daily routine, even again, 10, 15 minutes is going to make all the difference, especially if you have systems in place that are simple enough so that you can get as many people in the household on board. Because there are still some things that, you know, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old can help with on up to teenagers.
And I think back to school is a really good time because you're already transitioning anyway. So I think it's a really good time to totally reset your family's routines and schedules. And we've started doing, I mean, we've definitely fallen off over the summer. I'm just going to go ahead and predict that now. But so we'll doing this like 10-minute tidy makes such a difference. And we've incentivized it with video games. So after dinner, they go right into their little tight, and we cannot call it a cleanup because that is a trigger word in our house. Cleaning, we cannot say that. We have to use the word tidy, and we'll set a timer for 10 minutes. And so often they're finished before the timer even goes off. And so I'm always trying to remind them, see, this did not take as long as we thought it was going to. It was really not that bad.
Yeah.
So I think just getting back, like you said, resetting and getting back in those routines. And now's a really great time to reintroduce those things.
Yeah. Our mutual friend, Tammy she's really big on resetting at 4 different parts of the year. It's New Year in January. She also does one in the spring, at the beginning of summer, and then the back to school. She's like, because these are natural times in our life when we're resetting. And so it's a good time to think about your habits. And some things change. Like when you're examining how your routine is, summer looks different than fall. And winter, with daylight and stuff, is its own beast. So sometimes we're going to need to re-examine our schedule and our routine and figure out what's going to work for this time period. But yeah, I promise you, and the thing is, a lot of people are like, oh, great. Like, cool. Thank you. You're just telling me that it's as easy as keeping up with it. And it's, nobody likes this answer, but it really is like taking that small amount of time every day to just reset literally anything is going to be the key to keeping your home clutter free. Because otherwise things will get, you know, out of bounds. Is there a small pile next to my bed of things that I can't be bothered to put away frequently? Yes. And do I need to set aside a little time to make sure that those things go back into their homes? Absolutely. But the other great thing about getting organized, like once you've decluttered and you've created homes, it's going to be easier to see what is clutter versus not, because the things that are important to you have a place to go. And so then what's left, you're able to examine a little bit more in depth.
Can we talk about all the paper? kids bring home so much paper despite this being a digital world. I know most of it can end up in the trash, and that's what happens in my house, even though I have to hide it. But what do we do with the information we need? And we have folders that come home on Friday that have to be returned Monday. So, you know, kind of lives here for a little bit of time. So help.
That's, yeah. The paper
all
situation,
that stuff that doesn't need a permanent home.
No.
The paper coming from school is like out of control. And it's everybody's pain point. Every client, every student, this is something that drives everybody absolutely bananas. And here's what I recommend. We're going to give that its own home too. And I know exactly what you're saying, Brittany, about most of it doesn't even need to stay. It's like, okay, we got it. And a lot of it can be like, okay, we're getting this on the calendar, and then we can let go of the piece of paper. You could even throw something on your calendar and take a picture of it. And then if there's details or whatever, and add that picture to the calendar invite, and away you go. So there are two things I'm a fan of. One, having a spot that's very easily accessible in the morning, because as you're rushing around right before school is usually when you're like, wait, what? And you have to reference something. So I don't recommend keeping those things in like a file cabinet, because if it's all the way in your office or wherever your files are, it's too much and you're going back and forth. It's very annoying. So for this school stuff specifically, I like to give it its own home. It could be in where you keep your mail solution. I also have a mail solution. We can talk about it if you want. If not, I'll skip it. But you could keep like a folder of just the school stuff with your mail so that it's easily accessible with these items that end up being kind of like an active to-do area. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing that I'm a big fan with, of especially for parents who are co-parenting in multiple households, because you're not necessarily getting multiple pieces of paper, and that communication can be, it's just an extra tough step. So what I recommend for that is, there is an app called Google Keep. It's part of the Google Suite. This is this app has changed my life. I heard about it on a podcast once. I was already an organizer and had been an organizer for like a year and a half, 2 years. And it changed the way that I did notes, because before then I was writing them down and then having to like scan them and keep them online if I wanted an online copy. It was a pain and it was dumb. So instead I use this app. Basically you can put notes in this app and it saves the notes kind of like little sticky notes. You can pin them to the top for the really important ones. You can have the ones that are less important not pinned. You can add pictures to the note and they don't save to your photos. They're just reference photos in the note. So it doesn't take up that bandwidth. You don't have to declutter it later. It's just in this one place and you can share that with somebody else. So you could have a note that you share with all the parents involved in your co-parenting ecosystem, and you could take a picture of all the things and then you could send them a text, hey, updated the note. There's some new stuff from school. Boom, done. And then when the things have kind of expired, you just let go of that photo and delete it. So it can kind of be an ongoing place to share. And another good thing I really like about the app is that the photos are really easy in the app to like zoom in and get a lot of detail. So if you took a picture of that, you're still going to be able to get all the information from a flyer. It's going to be fine. But it doesn't take, again, like your photo bandwidth. You can also take those notes and you can take them. You could open it up on your desktop and you can see it. You could change that into a Google Doc. I will say once you change it into a Google Doc, the reference photos aren't as easy to expand. That's like way too much detail, but I swear it will be relevant if you end up changing it into a Google Doc. But that's the way that I do all my client notes now. And I'm taking notes in the app and then I'm switching it over to a Google Doc so I can reference it when I'm on my computer and like making plans for clients. But it's an absolute lifesaver. And I think that that can be a great way to quickly get rid of paper, but still be able to access it and then share it with people very, very easily.
I will be downloading that immediately, because back to school is never just back to school. It's back to sports. It's back to extracurriculars. It's back to like everything. And so I always feel like flooded with information all at once. So that sounds like it's going to be a lifesaver.
I could do a podcast series on how much I love Google Keep. Like I kind of don't shut up about it. So thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for coming.
I would listen to that podcast series. Can we take a quick detour into the mail clutter though? Because
yes,
I love getting the mail. It is my like, you guys are driving me
in there.
No, but hear me out. I only do it. I save it for when my kids are driving me absolutely insane. And I'm like, hey, peace out. I'm going to get the mail. Our mailbox is just across the street. I wish it was farther down, but it's so nice, especially in the summer. I have like this weird aversion to air conditioning. Like even though it's hot as hell here in Sacramento, like I need to be outside like in fresh air. And sometimes in the summer, that's my only chance to go do it, because that's all I can handle is to walk across the street to get the mail.
It's literally too hot.
Yeah. But then I don't actually want the mail. I just wanted like that like quick 5-second reset. And so I just pile it on the counter and it drives AJ insane because he's like, what is all this stuff?
I only go when I have a package coming.
I am envious of your little walk because mine is right outside my door. So I don't even have to leave my house at all. I can literally reach and grab and then it's done.
Oh yeah. It's very close. It's not nearly enough.
No. Yeah. I'm with you on the little reset. And also I'm with you on the air conditioning. It's the summer here. It's too cold inside. Like it's way too cold. Anyway,
open your window for a few minutes. Like,
yes, just step outside into the 116 degree heat. I do.
I do.
I'm like, all right.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's my mail hack. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm so excited to share this because I swear this makes a difference. And you can ask, I have clients and students you can talk to out the wazoo who are like, okay, the hack, it works. So here's what you need. And a lot of this applies to many different spaces in your home. So you're going to love it. Okay. When you get the mail, first of all, let go of the things you don't need, which is 99% of the mail. That's fine. Okay, cool. We've ripped it up. We've shredded it. We've recycled. Shred pile is very important. If you don't have a shredder at home, you can get one on Amazon very inexpensively. We're talking $30 and you never have to worry about shredding again. Or if you don't have room at home, you're like, I have a small space. I don't have room for a shredder, even a small one. Also super fine. You can get something called herb scissors from Amazon. And they're basically scissors with like 3 blades. So you could just chop up your mail or any sensitive information that you need to with very little effort. Or you can gather it up. This is what I do nowadays, even though I have a shredder, because I end up collecting it for clients too. So I gather it up and I take it to Office Max, Office Depot, and they work with, I know my local one works with Iron Mountain. So like shredding is all they do. You take it and you put it into a container and you're doing it. So, you know, you make sure everything's in this secure locked container that they take and shred. It's like 99 cents a pound. So it's very easy to just get it out of your life inexpensively. Okay. That's the shredding part. When you have the mail that actually needs action, take a look at it. Say it's your car registration. It's not due for 2 months. You're like, you know what? I'll set a reminder or I'll be back into the mail before it's due. It's fine. Or say it's an invitation and you're like, I need to figure this out on my schedule. You need a spot for that stuff. That spot.
Yes. This is the hangup.
This is the hangup
section.
Okay. This is what you do. You get a small container and you're going to want it to be vertical. So not horizontal, like an inbox, because with the inbox style, it can just pile up and ends up falling all over the place. This is endless. And when you go through this, it can be very overwhelming to be like, great, I have to deal with this pile. So instead we're going to flip the script. We're going to do a vertical solution and we're going to make it very thin. So this is going to be either a magazine holder. You could even get a napkin holder from the dollar store. This can be a 99-cent solution. And the mail that you need to take action on is going to fit in here. You could also, like I was mentioning before, if you got a folder just for the school stuff that you need to have reference, you can keep it in that same spot too. The reason why we want it to be vertical is because there's going to be a limited amount of space. And that's the other reason why we want it to make it small, because you're going to have to take action after this much. And because nothing else will fit. And that is so much easier to go through than this situation. So that's what I do. It gives you a natural boundary where you're like, okay, I got to take action on it. But all those items are going to be things that you need to reference, need to take action on, need to reply to, pay the bill, whatever. But it's easier to find what you need. And the home also in your area won't take as much space as if you had this and then it's just piling everywhere.
You mean like my whole drawer right here full of mail I need to take action on?
100%. Yeah. If it makes you feel better, and this person shared this, publicly, so I can share this story. But one of my students, one of my students, she has a chair and in like her bedroom, and she was basically taking the mail and just throwing it behind the chair. She's like, oh, it's not gonna. And she did that.
It was for Brittany. Like, Brittany, go ahead and just out yourself. That is her, like,
100%. It's not really just a drawer. So yeah, she was throwing it behind the chair for about a year. And
a year.
Yeah. And then it got out of control, and she was like, okay, she posted in the group because we have accountability in our group. She's like, I'm tackling the mail chair. It's happening. I'm doing it. Okay. She ended up not needing to keep a single damn thing in that whole pile from a year. And the only thing that actually was important was she got a debit card. And I think what happened was she didn't realize she got the debit card. So she ended up getting a new debit card. And so she didn't even need to keep that. There was nothing in the pile that mattered. It was all recycle or shred.
Well, I will definitely be implementing that because I missed our car registration this past month. And it was, let me tell you, the overdue fee in California for your registration is a lot. And that is the most unlike me thing ever to miss something like that, especially a big payment like that.
Yeah.
And I was very annoyed with myself. And it wasn't like when you're like a couple days late on your credit card payment or whatever, and you call them and complain and like, I'm always on time, take this off. Like, there was nobody to call. And I was so far overdue. There wasn't even like, I just had to eat it. And I was so mad at myself. So I will be implementing that strategy.
I'm so sorry. My sweet, sweet husband is very particular about the car registration. Like, the second it comes through the door, he's like, so you're going to pay it, right? Like, we're going to pay it this weekend. I'm like, it's due in 2 months. Like, it's going to be fine. He's like, you know what? I'd feel just a lot better if we just went ahead and paid it. I'm like, okay. So like the second it comes in, one of us is getting it done.
I feel like it is worth mentioning, at least in California, you technically can't be written a ticket. You have like at least a month grace period on it. So you're fine, but you know, definitely pay it because portion of that may or may not pay my husband's salary. So do it.
Yep. And my husband's brother is a CHP officer locally to us too.
Oh, really? So
I think he's always nervous about getting pulled over, and he also looks a lot like his brother. Like funny. People have met him and said, is your brother so-and-so? So he's just like, I'm not going to embarrass
not me. Messing with the law.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, we've talked about the paper. Let's talk about the art projects and things that we actually do want to keep, because some of the stuff that comes home is worthwhile and the kids probably don't want it, but also maybe I want it in 20 years. Who knows?
Yeah, it depends on the kid though. Sometimes totally. The kids want everything, even mm-hmm. You know, when kids are around like preschool, kindergarten, and they go through the alphabet and they learn how to trace all the letters. I've met so many kids who are like, this is obviously very important. And some of it's not as good as others. Like, can we all be honest?
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
oh,
yeah. It's not.
It is subjective, but they think everything they do is good.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not that it's not good, but like, do you want to save this for 20 years is
right.
Really what it boils down to. So that decision-making process, especially if they're younger, I think really should be left to the parents for sure. And some parents do want to keep way more than others, but decide the right amount for you. Because as you know, over time, the paper is just going to keep on coming. They're going to be doing art for the next 12 years. So be selective about what you're keeping and think on the front end. This is especially important if you have kids that are just starting school or about to start school or in the first few years. Think about your end goal here. How much do you want to store in your house through high school? Is that one box of schoolwork? Is it a couple of files? I think thinking about how much you want and have room and emotional bandwidth to store overall is going to be a really important thing to think about, because whatever you're saving along the way is going to be 1/13th of that. And I use the same kind of thought process for sentimental items too, because if you, I think it's totally fine to have sentimental items. This is a process that I start with people from when their kiddos are babies, because there's some things that you're going to want to save that are physical objects, maybe a hospital bracelet, baby's first pair of shoes, the onesie they came home in, whatever the case may be. It's totally natural to want to save some things, but you will want to think about the end goal, because if you don't set limits in place, then your kiddo might just think like, oh, okay, well, if I want to save it, I can save it, with this like endless amount of room in mind. But if you think about it on the front end with like, how much am I willing to store of sentimental items until my kiddo lives in their grown-up house, probably is what it's going to end up being like. So how much room is that? And that depends on where you live. That depends on how many kids you have. Because if you say 5 bins and you have 5 kids, that's 25 bins of things. Like, are you willing to store that? So do the math and decide on those limits on the front end, because it's going to make your life so much easier through the years. If you're like, hey, yeah, we can absolutely save this, but just so you know, we're saving 1 bin total of all your stuff. So once it's full, we've got this decisions to make. And if it gets full by, if you want to save 1 bin and you are full by third grade, well, then for the rest of the time that they're in school, they're going to be making decisions about what is good enough, what's making the cut, and what's got to go. And it sounds harsh, but the other thing to think about it is that this is totally a life skill. You're setting them up for success as a kid with decluttering consistently, because the stuff through your life is always going to come in. There's just always going to be more stuff coming in. So if we are thinking about spatial limitations, if we're thinking about that decision-making process from a young age and saying, okay, cool, we can absolutely keep it if you want, but something's got to give. So what are we going to let go of so that we can keep this thing that you like more than whatever old item that you have? It's really flexing that decluttering muscle from a young age, and it will serve them well. Cause I work with so many people, and decluttering is a skill. And a lot of us didn't really dive into that skill set in our youth, which is fine. I think that a lot of our parents didn't necessarily get that as well. And generationally, a lot of us are still affected by, honestly, the Great Depression.
I was going to say, because our parents were raised by depression babies who wouldn't throw anything away.
Exactly. And it's generational trauma that's been handed down. And now we need to take the steps to, to work through it and to make changes for our future generations. And so it sounds like it can be really heavy stuff to think about what we're working through, but again, getting these systems in place and getting the decision-making skills under your belt, especially when your kids are young, it's going to make a huge impact on their life.
That's what I love about what you do, because you're not just a professional organizer, you're part behavioral therapist, you're part actual therapist. I mean, you just come to this with such care and knowledge of where people are coming from. And I think that makes such a difference with people, because if you're just coming in saying, throw this away, throw that away, without understanding why they're tossing mail behind their chair for a year, then you're not going to connect and there won't be any change made. So I think that makes such a big difference.
100%. And thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, people, and that's something that's really important for me to let people know when we first start working together, before we work together, because not every organizer works the same way. And not everybody has the same focus. So some people might go into it thinking like, oh, okay, so you're just trying to get some beautiful pictures for Instagram and you just want to put everything in bins and slap a label on it. And that's the end of the day. But I think many of us get into this because we've had so much change in our own life and we've seen so many, honestly, emotional stress level benefits from it that now, like, my focus is decluttering. Decluttering is the foundation of everything that we do, but it's not me telling you, like, you should, Heather, you should have 20 shirts and you should have no more than 20 books. It's not, nothing like that. Everybody's needs, wants, things that are important, their hobbies, everyone is so different. So you really have to tap into what each person's priority is and ask questions so that they can figure out what is the best answer for themselves. Because it's not going to be me telling you what to do. It's me helping you through the decision-making process. But just figuring out those limits, like what's right for you, what's right for your family based on your interests and how much space you have and your family needs.
I did want to share what I have done with art because I feel like this is one area that I am succeeding at. I've got these big, they're like for art students, they're these big like portfolio cases
kind of. Yes, for the big stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of like soft-sided. Mm-hmm. And so I hang them on a hanger in the closet. And I've decided early on, because I have an artiste in my home who's also a practicing hoarder. And so I decided early on that the keepers were going to be anything with a handprint and any kind of like milestone art. So like the first time they drew a person, or the first time like I actually could recognize what the picture was of, or, you know, things like that. And that it's still a big thing. I feel like and my son is not as an accomplished artist. So his is much smaller and Isla's is much bigger, but we're working on that. And anything else I throw away as much as I can. I bury it under the coffee grounds, whatever, so that nobody goes and looks for it, because as soon as it's done, it's forgotten about. And maybe once has she gone looking for something and I've had to like rescue it from the garbage. Like, oh, I found it. But if it's something to her that's really important, I have, it's a string light with clothespins on it. And so she can hang her artwork from there. And then when we do like a big room declutter cleanup every, like probably like twice a year, we'll look at it together and decide which of these can we say goodbye to so that we can make room for new things, and which ones do we absolutely have to keep. And it is a painstaking process, but I think we're finally getting there. I actually have like multiple strings with clothespins throughout the house for them to display all of their artwork. And sometimes I do go through behind their backs and like pull things down and toss it when they're at school. But I feel like that has helped for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Also, major kudos, because the artwork is such a pain point for so many people. And it sounds like you're killing it. So great job.
Well, we're killing everything on paper. Luckily, we haven't had any like pottery or dioramas or anything like that. So for now, we're good.
I'm gonna knock on wood that pottery classes are not in your future.
No, that mission project is coming in fourth grade. Great fun.
I'm not saving that. I don't want a montage.
Harrison into donating it to the class because he did something that was not, that nobody else did. Just teacher.
Amazing. That's such a great idea. Like, buddy, this is so great. They need it at school to use it as a shining example. I love it. I'm so happy for you, Brittany. I do want to say two more things about the art situations. Two popular solutions. One are these things called school bins. If you go to Etsy and you put school bins, you're going to get answers. It's essentially, I don't know if organizers want me. It's a file box. It's a file box with beautiful files and beautifully labeled tabs. And every file has a grade. So you're going to do preschool on through 12th grade. And then basically it's just a filing system. So you're saving essentially like a file's worth of stuff for each grade. And then they're also personalized on the front. So it'll have the first name of your kiddo, usually in a very beautiful, beautiful, like Cricut sticker. and they're gorgeous and they're really great, but it makes it very easy. And if that seems like that could be the right amount for you, it could be a very great and easy way to just go on Etsy, order one, have it shipped to you, and it's personalized and gorgeous. Another solution that is really popular too, and I will make sure to share with you a code for this, is that is Archive. And they send you a box, a big cardboard box. You fill it up with all your kiddo art, send it away, and then they make gorgeous books for you. And the books are just filled with all the art, and then the actual artwork, they will let it go for you, or you can have it digitized. And so it essentially just removes it from the situation. So that can be a fun option too.
Oh, I love that. I love all those people who can make like beautiful Shutterfly books out of the kids' art pictures. And I always have big plans for things like that and can never do it. I also feel really limited by those file folder boxes because I feel like they're so small. That's like, I liked the bag because I can shove everything in it. There's no organization to it. She's getting this bag on her 18th birthday. Good luck. Have fun.
You can take it to school with you or not, but it can't stay here.
So we did I did like a DIY version of that in our filing cabinet. We had an empty drawer and we really only had like two things that don't fit in there coming mm-hmm. from school, but those things are just like on the side of the filing cabinet. So.
Yeah. Which is also fine. It doesn't have to be complicated. Like if it works for you, perfect. File cabinet is also a wonderful place to keep that stuff. And for many families, we've just got some files and one is like, it'll be like first name, medical stuff, first name, school, boom. And the things that we want to save plop in there. And you can even do one that's like first name sentimental. So if there's like special, I don't know, items that are paper related and still fit well in there. I often kind of tag team sentimental bin. So it'll be like a bin for physical 3D items and then paper we can just file away.
Okay. Oh, I like that. So tell us about your community and how they can help our audience organize all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So my community is called the Clutter-Free Home Process, and it helps women declutter. We've got those, you know, the foundational skills. That's the first module. And we start with making an action plan that's personalized to what your needs are. Then we also walk through decluttering the tough stuff, sentimental items, items kept out of guilt. And we're really working through that and dialing into those tough decisions. It also helps students organize like a pro, is how I put it. It basically takes the knowledge out of my head and gets it to you on how organizers look at spaces and are thinking about creating those solutions and giving you tricks of the trade so that you can use the space that you have. And then we also are talking about maintenance strategies and putting those simple, as simple as possible, systems in place to maintain these clutter-free homes that you spent this time creating. And my goal is to have students be able to do this without it feeling like your new full-time job. So everything we're doing, we're chunking down into like 15, 20 minute chunks. Even our action plan, instead of saying like, oh, I'm going to declutter my bedroom, we're going to say, okay, bedroom, the side table, the top of my dresser, under the bed. These are all separate items so that you can tackle small, teeny tiny little projects in small chunks of time, get a win under your belt, give yourself a high five, cross it off your list, and you're feeling good. You've got that momentum versus feeling like you're making a little progress in a bunch of spaces, but not seeing anything to completion. So those feelings are wildly different, and that's what we really want to dial in on. And then in our community, we have a private Facebook group where we're putting in prompts. We are checking in there, you know, 5 days a week. I'm in there. People are sharing their wins. People are asking questions. People are helping each other. You can run your organizational ideas past each other. You can show a picture and say, hey, I did it. And you can ask 15 questions a day if you want, because as you're going through this process, it's one of those things where A, it can be really emotional to get started. And people, it's not necessarily things that people want to share with everyone. And so it's nice to have a community of people who totally get it. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone started in the same place, myself included. And we're here to cheer each other on. So you have a ton of questions. We want to answer them, all of them. Ask as many as you want. You want to share that you tackled your junk drawer or the space under your bathroom or your dresser, whatever it is. We are here to throw a party and to cheer you on when you finish. We celebrate every win, and our tagline is every win is a win. So big, small, all of it. We also have accountability built into the group too. So you fill out a form and you say, hey, it's me, and this is my deadline, and this is what I'm working on. And we will pop up back in the group and say, hey, tagging you so-and-so, we know that you're working on XYZ and your goal is to have it done by blah, blah, blah date. How's it going? And we're checking in on that too. So we really want to make it an active, supportive community of folks who 100% get where you're coming from. And yeah, it's my baby and I'm very, very proud of the group.
I love it. That's exactly what I need. Like a high five every time I complete a task.
100%. 100%. We all do. Our friend Tammy calls them gold stars.
Yeah. I love Tammy.
Me too.
And we'll have a link in the show notes too, if that sounds like something you're interested in, because the community really is great. I am new to the community and I just love how supportive it is. And also, I love the idea of the accountability, but I also don't like it because I don't want to, there can be like a lot of like guilt and shame if you don't meet these deadlines. And I saw in the group, someone was like, hey, I didn't get to it. And I was like, hey, cool, maybe next month. And it was very like low pressure, low key, which is what I need.
Oh yeah. Nobody wants to be, it's there so that we're, you know, keeping each other accountable, but it's definitely not a high stakes situation. So many times people are like, you know, I really wanted to get to that. And then life got in the way, XYZ came up, and it's totally fine, but it's still on your radar. And that's the important thing, is to be like, hey, we're here for you. Do you want to set another goal? You know, where do we go from here? Because we're not, I always tell people, like, I don't want you to feel like me as an organizer, that I'm sitting on this throne of perfection and I have it all figured out and you just need to be like me. Like, that's not the case. We're all working through our stuff. We're all resetting when we need to. And yeah, it's just we want it to be supportive, but also there's no guilt attached to any of this, because we're all dealing with the word should too much. And I don't want that in the group at all. So, you know, come as you are, you're welcome here.
Thank you so much, Carly, for all of your tips, and you're just such a joy. Thank you so much.
Likewise. I am so glad that we are connected, guys. And I really appreciate everything that you do in here. Thank you.
Before we go, can you let our audience know where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my site, tidyrevival.com. I'm also on all the social channels at Tidy Revival, mainly Instagram, TikTok. Come hang out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.